cliffcentral.com.
All right, here we are. We're live. It's a Friday morning. Things are happening. People have got weekends to plan for. They've got fun to have. They've got relaxing to do. And they've got warm to keep.
Oh.
How do you like that?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good, good, good. And your stools. Good, good. And your children. Good, good. And your husband. Good, good. It is 6:08. Bright and early in the morning. Sia Sangweni's here.
Yes, he is.
And Ben Karpinski's here.
Hello.
And Mabali Molloy is here.
It is.
You know, you all have surnames that end in I.
I've never thought of that.
Okay.
Nice. And Lucas is here too. Where is he? Let me put you on here. Hang on. I haven't got your microphone on. Lucas is in the production booth this morning with Amanda, the intern.
Good morning.
Good morning. Lucas Matebula?
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
And Amanda, what's your surname?
Romberg.
Romberg. With a B-E-R-G or B-U-R-G?
B-U-R-G-H.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Jesus.
That's like that's fancy, huh?
That's like putting an extra tier on a 4-tier cake. Yeah. Make it 5, why don't you?
So what's the story with the surname? There's got to be a story here.
I recently changed my name.
Yeah, from what to what?
My name was Nolentando Amanda Magaia, but I changed it to Amanda K. Nolentando Magaia Romberg.
Jesus, ooh. You want more names? Or
I know,
is that
right?
Enough?
There's not enough blocks for me to fill in forms.
Yep.
Yeah, if you go to Home Affairs, you're in trouble, lady.
No, I am. And yeah. So I thought, I needed something cool. I thought I'd add in the K.
Why did you take on the Romberg as your own surname? Are you adopted?
I was adopted. Uh-huh. Real mom died when I was very young, so my family now is all I know. So to show them a lot of appreciation and how much I care about them, I took on their surname. But then I do have a brother whose surname's also Magaia. So I didn't just want to throw the Magaia off. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I kept it.
So who calls you Nolutando?
My mom used to, but okay. No one does.
No one else does anymore. No. It's just Amanda wherever you go now.
Yeah. And then I thought I needed a cool DJ name, so I thought Amanda K was quite sick.
Damn right.
Hey, are you going to get your lecturer to come in and talk to us?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, the guy we were talking about the other day, Carl Kikilis.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Get him to come in here. So I brought up his name. So Dory in the office knows all about him. She said, oh, he was this heartthrob on TV. He used to present this music show on TV when she was younger. I don't remember him. Rena, who works with me, said, oh, no, she remembers Carl Kikilis. So clearly the guy was well known.
Apparently he was on Springbok Radio, and then he was on 94.7, and he got fired from there, I think.
Oh, nice. I like him already.
That guy sounds great.
He's out of control, yeah.
Oh, really? So he's a bit of a wild guy.
He's very wild.
How old's he now? Any guess?
Just thumb suck. 60.
Wow.
And he looks pretty good, eh? He's buff as hell.
Serious?
Yeah. No.
Ooh. It's one of those dudes who's just kept up his physical fitness.
Yep.
You got to do that. I saw one dude at the gym the other day. He must be, other side of 60. Mm-hmm. This guy, he looked fantastic. He was busy pumping iron, working those machines, doing sit-ups, and he was pretty much making his way around the gym like it was something he did every day. And by the looks of things, it's something he does do every day. He looked really happy. I want to be that guy rather than some crippled, hunchbacked, bent over, gnarled, twisted and bitter old person who's just waiting for death. Know what I mean?
Yeah, you've got to keep up, hey? When I used to go to gym.
Those were the days.
Speaking of which.
There was a 100-year-old woman that I used to see on
Seriously?
A daily. Oh, yeah. She's old as hell, but she was there.
She did it every
right
day.
There,
right
there on the treadmill next to you.
What was she doing? Just treadmill and.
No, she worked the whole gym.
Yeah, she did the circuit. She didn't fuck around.
See, the only problem is your neck and your hands will still always tell how old you are.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
You get the skin blotchy
things,
absolutely
true. But you know what? We're all going to live forever. Yes.
Well, speaking of living forever, you know who got a Lifetime Achievement Award last night?
Who? Kirk Douglas.
No.
Who?
Isn't Kirk Douglas dead?
No.
Kirk Douglas is still going. He's not dead. Yeah?
It was Mr. Gary Play. He won the Lifetime Achievement Award at the SA Sport Industry Awards.
Oh. Everybody, let's give him a round of applause. There you go. Nicely done, Gary. That was the one he was holding out for, right?
You know, like you've got a sporting event where you've got a Lifetime Achievement Award, and they go, okay, right, we can't give it to Gary too soon and peak, so we got to, like, slow play it. So we'll give it to a few other guys, and then, okay, we need the ratings this year. And he was there, huh? He was there giving a speech and telling people all the normal stuff.
Well, good for Gary. We've got to get him in here for an interview at some point.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can make it happen. Has he sold that farm of his in Colesberg?
I'm not sure, hey. It's quite a big purchase. And it's on the market, of course.
You might have to drop the price a little.
I mean, you might find someone wants to just frack the crap out of it, because that part of the world.
Imagine Gary. I want $42 million for it, please. Mr. Player. You imagine being that estate agent. Mr. Player, the farm's worth like 10.
It's
worth
a lot.
Don't you dare. It's worth a lot. I'm Gary Player. Everybody in the world knows me. I put a premium on these things. I'm going to sell it as the Gary Player Estate.
It's on the market for $50 million.
You see? The estate agents are sweating bullets. They're like, they're never going to sell this piece of shit for that much money.
Gareth, have you even seen this farm? I'm calling it a piece of shit. Firstly, National Place of Heritage. He's been there for 44 years, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
44 years of running up and down the hill, chasing Jack Russells and doing 1,000 sit-ups. And it's amazing. It's really contemporary, well designed, beautiful for family entertaining or guests.
All right.
There's a golf facility, and of course, it's a stud farm.
Oh.
So lots of flies.
All right. So 50 mil, huh?
Yeah. I mean, if I had 50 mil, obviously I'd buy it, but you know, I don't.
Well, because it would be a place of homage for you as a golf fan, where the great Gary Player would have lived.
I mean, you can sell tour packages to Americans. You get the money back quick.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, well, good for him. I'm just glad I'm not the estate agent there. What, you're going to drop it to 45? What, are you mad? Never give up. Come here, sit with me, do some sit-ups. You're looking fat. Right? Okay, Ngobile is on the line. We tried to talk to Ngobile yesterday, but we ran out of time before the news. Hey, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Oh, nice. You're loud and clear for a change. Now, listen. Ngobile always sends me these emails about how I've got the completely wrong idea about how the system, the economy ought to work. Are you still on that tip?
I am still on that tip.
All right, what's going on? Update me. Have you found some new information?
Well, not more different than the last email that I would have sent you, which was...
Yeah, I didn't read it. I didn't read it. I told them to get you on the line instead. Then you can... tell me, and I can decide if it's boring or not.
Okay, cool. So, what I was saying to you was pretty simple, is that too often we compare, you know, communism to capitalism, right? Which is, I believe now that I have a change of heart, it's a wrong approach, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, the correct, because if you look at communism, communism never came to be, okay? Mm-hmm. Where people say, no, it happened in the Iron Curtain, Russia, whatever, there was never really communism at its intrinsic meaning, because it was Stalinism and Leninism.
Yeah, but this is the problem with people on the left who love communism. They keep telling you, oh, no, it's perfect in its theory. It's just been implemented wrong.
But here's the counter-argument, which I now say the approach needs to change. Mm. Instead of going with that approach, because you always get... defensive arguments from your side, and people who believe in the same way you do. Here's an argument.
Dude, I don't believe in anything. I just know that money doesn't flow uphill.
Okay, fine. Instead of defending the capitalist system, why aren't you advocating a free market system? Because it's definitely not what's happening right now. Because the free market system is definitely not big.
I agree with you, but here's the deal. Capitalism is the best of a bunch of worst systems. Like, I would rather, and before you even get into whether or not communism has been implemented properly, that is such a bullshit argument, because everyone's tried a different version of it. Venezuela, Cuba, Angola, the whole of Eastern Europe They all tried different systems in each of those countries. There was Russia, there's China, North Korea. I mean, you've got countless examples of where people have tried. The system is the problem. The theory is bad. It's a bad theory. Capitalism, okay. Capitalism is also a bad theory. Capitalism is greedy. It's all about the individual. It's a selfish thing where people try to make as much profit as they can. And if they need to, they squeeze the poor and they squeeze the workers. So both of these are not ideal. Okay, but in theory, they're both philosophies that are full of holes. In practice, there are even more holes because you do find good people in capitalist societies and you do find bad people in communist ones. The fact is, Mobile, forget about all the theory for a second. People in capitalist countries are always more free. They are always more happy. There is always a better standard of living. Always. Full stop. There has never been a communist country where the standard of living has been even comparable to the standard of living in the worst capitalist state. Am I wrong? Name an example.
Okay, so I'd rather say you're not entirely wrong, but in the sense of you can't say the capitalist system is the best of the bad bunch. The thing is,
I just did. And you can't prove me wrong.
Okay. How I view it is, it's not the best of the worst bunch. Because if you look at how systematically it is, the capitalist system is an imperialist system which is upgraded. Which, as you know, the imperialist system was only benefiting a few, and it has always been like this.
Hold on, I'm going to pull a Helen Ziller on you here. There is plenty of advancement in civilization that came about because of imperialism. It hasn't. What has communism contributed to world culture that is still around and still valuable?
Let me ask you this. How many scientists have come from Russia?
No, dude, they came through despite Russia. Just remember, these scientists were paid as much as a guy who dug a hole, a guy who was a doctor, a guy who fixed pipes, and a guy who smashed shit together in the fields. This is not a system for excellence. And the only reason that those scientists even came to the fore was because Russia itself had two separate books. It's like a crooked person who keeps two sets of accounts. Russia had the one account where to the whole world they were communists and everyone was equal, everybody earned the same. And on the other side, they were going around finding people of excellence and putting them in a different strata of society. These people were treated differently. The government looked after them differently. They lived in different villages from everyone else. You haven't read your history. You're sounding ignorant.
No, I know, I have. That's why I said it's not actually communism, hence it's Stalinism. You know what I mean?
All right, listen.
But what do the point?
Mobile, I don't have time for this. I'm going to give you some homework and we talk about it when you've done your research. Because until you have, I can't have an equal argument between peers. Go and read something now called The Gulag Archipelago.
Okay.
No.
It was not communism versus
capitalism. But you're talking as someone who's been looking at Wikipedia and Google. Go and do me a favor. Go and read, and I'm not being patronizing here, but the truth is you're just uninformed. You need to go and read The Gulag Archipelago, all right? Very, very well-written book. What's the guy's name? I keep wanting to say Dostoevsky. Give me a second.
Solzhenitsyn.
Yeah. Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Go and read Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago. It's not a hard read in terms of anything. I could read it, and I'm not the smartest guy in the room. What you must do is read it from the point of view of someone who lived through the implementation of pure communism in its most theoretical Marxist sense. Go and read it and see what kind of a life those people had. And then we can talk again. All right, please just read it. I will go and read what's that bullshit guy who was here in South Africa a while ago that everybody's going crazy about, who came out and said that capitalism's evil.
I don't know who that is, but
He came and did lectures at UCT and all kinds of things, man.
Okay. My argument was free market system. Why aren't we abdicating it as we should be, rather than defending the capitalist system that we have?
Right.
Because
market system, what is the difference in your mind between a free market system and a capitalist system? Go.
One does not require government, the other one does, and the one doesn't require regulation and all that stuff. And we as society are not advocating something which would
can
actually
can you
work.
Imagine a world. Now, I love you and Roman from the Renegade Report should get together because you sound like you're both as crazy as each other. Now, there's no way to have an anarchy. You've got to have a government. There's no way.
Wait. Let me ask you this. In nature, do you see any laws of police coming through from a lion where it goes, oh, no, guy, you can't eat it that way. You need to have it halal.
All right. So come. Listen. Nobila, I love it. It's a great theory. But where in the world are you going to impose this anarchy?
No, wait. It's not a theory. It is actually the closest thing, forget communism, it's the closest thing to being practical that can work. It's never mind even theory. If, for argument's sake, people said, we don't want a government. And as you've seen, government is shit. And that's the problem, is that people are defending these institutions of, oh, no, we need to defend the Constitution. Well, but these laws are the inhibitors.
They imprison us.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Why do you have so many people poor? Because remember, I shared a video with you of Thomas Sowell, for example, and Walter E. Williams, and even Milton Friedman, even though he was a bit, you know, cuckoo in my point of view. But in a sense of, if you have no laws, natural order will come to place. And if you don't have a government, believe me, everything will be as equilibrium as it should be. But,
dude, how are we going to get to that? How are we going to get to that system? You see, there are so many people in the world who are reliant on the state and who think the state is going to save them.
They're poor. That's
of course
why they're poor.
That is why they're poor. But in this country at the moment, we are seeing complete failure of the state, which means more and more people are going to go to your point of view. So just hang 10. Just wait a while, because we're going to have some system in the next 10 years that people are going to say we want less government. And I'm for that. Look, I'm on your side.
No, what I'm saying is, these people will remain poor. It will not change. Even if you hang 10 and whatnot, look at now, radical economic transformation, which is nonsense. All you're doing is making people more dependent on you. And that's my problem, isn't it? If we are going to go with the system of money,
okay,
rather go
if you
full on,
find a way, if you find a way of making this change happen, if you find a way of getting rid of government, or at least minimizing government's influence on our lives, I will be at the front of the queue to support you. And if I have any money at that stage, I'll give you all of it to make that happen.
Okay.
Because I do believe...
I don't even have to come up with a way. There's already ways.
Go on, let
me
hear.
People have already been mentioning it. No, for example, government cuts its spending drastically. But guess what? The politicians are career people who depend on your votes. And people keep on going, we need a Julius Malema saying the right things. There you go. That's the problem. Why can't you just say, no, we don't need you. We don't need a parliament. We don't need a court. People can govern themselves. And that's the problem. Is that there's already things that we can do which have common sense. But people are too scared and think and be indoctrinated to.
You still there? I think we lost him. He was making a lot of sense about the whole anarchy thing, but it's just impossible in a world where there are people who have accumulated power to themselves. They don't give it up. Who in this room would like more government? I didn't think so. Who in the whole world would like more government? I don't think so. Guess who's keeping that system in play? The politicians, like Nobile says. But this whole communism-capitalism thing I'm tired of. You got to go and read some books. Let's not even have this argument. There are lecturers at universities who are completely bamboozling their students into believing that these two have some kind of parity. There is no parity. These are false equivalences. And I see Cindy climbing into me. She's saying, Gareth, why don't you let him speak without interrupting? It's boring. You think you are superior. Gareth, you need to... Fuck off, Cindy. Just go and listen to something else. I don't need you. And Ramon says, another person who thinks that Bolshevism would have turned out differently if other people were in charge, he must listen to Jordan Peterson on the absurdity of this position. Greg says, Ben, I saw the Cosmo Mr. May thing that you put up. Ben used to be on a Cosmo calendar. He was in
2005 when I was young. Yes. Wow. That was my throwback on Instagram yesterday.
Yes. And Greg says, quick question. How much were you inspired by the Backstreet Boys in your youth? Because you were full on boy band in that picture.
Sheepers, in that picture, I just come out of glandular fever for 3 months. I was puffy, pacey, unhealthy. That was the first day out of the house, really. So I was just taking direction from whatever. That was probably the look they thought I could look least horrible in.
I had one of those 1 year. I think I was in either the year after or the year before you. I can't remember. But man, they struggled to make me look good.
Well, I had to go into black and white.
Well, me too. Yeah, they put me in black and white too. There's no way they could use me in color. It frightened the children.
Yeah.
This one came through from Avi. He says, in Cuba, you get given 4 pieces of toilet paper in public toilets. That's, you have to use those 4 and that's it.
What?
That's communism in practice. I enjoy my shits more than to use just four sheets of paper, says Avi.
Wow.
I don't want to know the guy who's regulated to just hand those out.
Can you imagine?
That's all he does the whole day.
Well, he earns the same as a doctor in Cuba. That's why all the Cuban doctors want to come here.
That's why we'll let them, though, because we want a penny lift.
Hey, we'll,
we want to...
We'll give you some toilet paper if you come and heal us sick.
I mean, I'd personally walk around the wards throwing out rolls.
Yeah. All right. And listen, if we can get Ngobile back, I always like talking to Ngobile. We disagree all the time, but that's... and there's no disrespect. It's not like I think I'm superior, like that idiot Cindy says. The difference is that when you're having an argument with someone, you don't have to suffer stupidity on either side. He can tell me if I'm being stupid, and he can shut me down if I'm making no sense. Similarly, if I think that there's a gap in his education, I can tell him how to fill it.
Wait, what did Mbali teach us about arguing better?
So Cindy, don't hit the person, I know.
Exactly.
But so, Cindy must fuck off.
No. What did we do for 4 weeks straight? 5 weeks? No, how?
No, it's Friday morning. Okay. I don't want to be lectured on how to do radio. Thank you very much. What show do you do, Cindy? How many listeners you got?
Once again.
Huh? How many years have you been in this business?
How to argue better.
No. Cindy's, I don't know what she does for a living, making sandwiches or whatever, but she can carry on doing that. I'll do what I do. If you don't like to listen to it, there are lots of shows where people sit like this. Watch this. This is how most shows happen on radio. And there are plenty for you to choose from, Cindy, if that's what you're into. Hey, Ben, what's your opinion?
Well, Gareth, I think my opinion is right because I've had a history of this and I've been telling people all the time that I think that it should be communism.
Well, Ben, I think that's a very valid point of view and I'm glad that we got to hear it today.
Okay, great. But can we carry on just because some people actually doubt what I've got to say and I really, really want to make a strong
call. Of course you can, Ben. I'd like you to talk and talk until everyone has stopped listening.
Okay, great. Well, I believe dogs should also have equal pay. Yes. And I think cats as well. You know, they just as got the rights as doctors. Know,
Ben, you are so entitled to your opinion. Tell us more.
Well, see, now if this system comes into play, then, you know, we will have equality. People say it's strange, but I just think it's right. It's got to be right.
All right. Okay. You see the point? Anyway, let me do what I do. You do what you do. How about that? And if you don't like it anymore, just don't listen. It's great. The world is free. I'm not begging you to pay attention to what we do here. And there are plenty of shows. You know what? There are shows where you can hear people arguing the whole time. And we don't like to do that too often. I mean, Mbali was falling asleep during that discussion with Ngobile. But we like to have fun. It's Friday, and we don't want to get too heavy. Plus, it's time for news. And that's why we need to move on. Let me tell you about Kolkakio's brand new stores. Do you want to hear where they are?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. They've got one in Eastgate, one in Northcliffe. They're up and running. They have got a brilliant promotion because today's Friday. I'm going to fill you in on this and make your day. On Monday, if you're hungry on Monday, make a note in your diary. You know, the great thing about having these smartphones is you can make a note anytime. Make a note that on Monday, all day on Monday, you buy one and get one free from Kolkakio Pizzeria. That's right, from May the 1st, which was the beginning of this month, all the way until the 31st of August. So basically for all of winter, you could buy any gourmet pizza, get a second gourmet or classic pizza free. Available nationwide at all Kolkakio Pizzerias and Mio Kolkakio Pizzerias. The less expensive pizza is...
free.
Free.
Yes, got it.
In-store or takeaway only, no delivery, T's and C's apply. Go to kolkakios.co.za for more information. Isn't that a great promo? If you're hungry, get two pizzas for the price of one. Your less expensive pizza is a faria.
Yeah, you don't even have to be knowing what communism or capitalism is.
No.
That's just a good deal.
It just makes sense.
It's just a good
terrific
deal.
All right, let's go. Here she is, Ma Bali Moloi. All right.
Now, a lot has been said about our so-called nuclear deal with Russia. Among things, it's been called corrupt, suspicious. Transparent is the word that was, or rather not transparent was the word that was insinuated when recently the Western Cape High Court found that these agreements between us and Russia do indeed lack transparency, promoting the government to go back to the drawing board for a new and more transparent process. The government's nuclear plans earlier also hit hurdles over costs and everybody's favorite C word, corruption claims.
Oh, that's my second favorite C word.
It's South Africa's favorite C word, corruption. Now, back in 2014, South Africa signed intergovernmental agreements with, among others, Russia and China as part of the multi...
China.
Yeah.
We've got to say it like that all the time, Mubs. You're right.
Yes, we do.
China.
As part of the multi-billion Rand nuclear bill plans. Now, yesterday, the chief nuclear officer of ESCOM, David Nichols, was speaking at
the... He sounds dangerous. Chief nuclear officer.
Ugh. At the Nuclear Power Africa conference. Yeah. He said, we are asked, show us the nuclear plans you've signed with the Russians. And I say, I can't do that. I don't have one. I don't know of a secret plan, Nichols said. He insisted the process has been transparent, yet there is presumption that behind this there is something else. Nichols also participated in a panel discussion on the country's nuclear positioning, where he told a fully packed briefing room there has been no procurement process on nuclear.
Do you believe him?
No, I do not.
Well, we got a package here yesterday from ESCOM. So yeah, open this up.
Okay. I just want to say
from ESCOM.
My last dying words were, I love you, Oprah.
I really thought you were going to say your mom.
No, Oprah. Oh, please. You don't know Sia. All right, so it's an invitation. The ESCOM Development Foundation invites you to the 2017 ESCOM Business Investment Competition Media Launch. Do these
people have...
What is that?
Coins. Like 10-cent coins.
It's a jar with coins in it. Like ESCOM have money to waste. Aren't they in financial shit?
Well, explains this.
So the event is today.
And they delivered this yesterday. Okay.
And they say... join us as we embark on a journey to revive the economy through small business development. Oh, please. How many times have you put up the price of electricity in the last 6 years, you cunt?
And how is that ESCOM's mandate? Or am I getting something wrong?
That's not their mandate. Their mandate is to provide electricity. How dare you? Here's what I think of your invitation.
That's my
RSVP. Hang on, let me wipe my backside with it too.
I think we've got a bipolar package. I think this is the salary for everyone else now that Brian's back and he gets the big money.
That's the money for the crowd that he gathered outside ESCOM on Monday last week when he arrived at work.
I really think this is just the wage packet that the rest of the staff get.
Probably.
That's sweet. There's
probably about R5 in here in small coins.
And that Mr. Nichols, whoever is the chief nuclear strategist or whatever you are.
Chief nuclear officer, right. David Nichols.
You can go to hell too.
Yes.
A whole lot of you at ESCOM.
Yeah.
I don't trust one single thing that company says. It's not even a company. It is a sheltered employment vehicle for state apparatchiks who are already working for another salary for the Guptas. I'm not interested. ESCOM, no one wants to come to your event. Don't send me invitations again. I don't like you.
It came wrapped in a newspaper.
Well, at least they saved money there. Probably the New Age, right? Yeah.
No, it's a Sunday Times trash.
Oh, well, the New Age would have been better because at least it would have had a use then. Someone could have said, well, I wrapped something in the New Age. I've never met anyone who subscribes to that newspaper. Back to you, Mubs.
Brazil is apparently concerned about the growing number of refugees spilling over its border from Venezuela. And is apparently said to be creating a plan to deal with a possible mass influx. That's if the crisis in Venezuela worsens. I see the president of Venezuela also refused to step down amid allegations of corruption.
Yeah, I heard in Venezuela you get 3 pieces of toilet paper.
Well, that is probably why thousands of Venezuelans are now trying to run away by going over into Brazil.
Communism is great.
Now, according to the Brazilian defense minister, evidently we are worried and our biggest concern is the humanitarian situation. More than 6,000 Venezuelans cross the border every day.
Wow.
Looking to buy food and medicine. He said that most of them go back, but a lot of them stay and look for work in Brazil.
Hmm. Well, Cindy says, Gareth, you need to accept that all views matter. Just because someone doesn't share your view doesn't mean you must interrupt. It's boring and rude. You didn't give Norwile a chance. We listen for different views. Well, there's a different view. And guess what? It supports my view. Communism is a disaster. Look at the news. Cindy, read the news. I mean, it's not just my view. There is also truth and there is complete fiction. So in some cases, and if you listen long enough, and I trust if you like what we're doing at cliffcentral.com, you say you do, you would have heard. I've admitted when I'm wrong. That way we all learn. I've been wrong a lot, but I can promise you on this one I'm not. And why should we all have to suffer an opinion that's uneducated? Is that what you waste your time listening to? I don't think so. I would prefer to have someone who knows. In this case, it's something I feel very strongly about. There are other things where I don't, and I admit I don't know a damn thing. Like ayahuasca the other day. So we all got educated. I got you. She says she runs an African practice with 3,500 people. I listen to Cliff Central for different views. Don't be a dick. All right, Cindy.
Speaking of dicks, poor old Donald Trump is having a hard old time. Such a hard time.
What an amazing segue.
I know. So yeah, I am fucking amazing.
He's a dick.
So yesterday he was denying that his campaign had collaborated with Russia. You see how Russia is always in suspicious relationships?
Grab him by the pussy.
Us and them with the nuclear deal, mm-hmm. them and America with the elections. Anyway, Donald Trump had to answer a whole bunch of questions yesterday. And one of them being that, did he urge Comey, that's the last FBI director, at a February meeting to drop his probe of the Russia connections of Trump's national security advisor? No. Next question. That was Trump's response.
I don't
response.
Want to answer that. I'm tired of talking about Comey.
Did he, in fact, collude with Russia in his campaign to defeat Democrat Hillary Clinton?
Mm-hmm.
His response was, everybody, even my enemies, have said there is no collusion. However, another answer on that subject seemed both more specific and perhaps ambiguous. He said, there is no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign, but I can only speak for myself and the Russians. Zero. The entire thing has been a witch hunt, he declared. This is the single greatest witch hunt of a politician in American history.
Really?
According to Donald Trump, the victim. Oh, shame. You poor thing.
You should look up Senator McCarthy if you think you're the only one who's ever been witch hunted. Donald Trump has got such a, you know what? He's got such an opinion of himself, this guy, that I don't think he even knows. I don't think he even knows that people hate him as much as they do.
But
in his world, he's built this fake. I mean, he's always been told yes his whole life by everybody because he had money.
I've been seeing quite a few memes around the fact, I mean, is this true that he said no politician in history, and I say with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly?
Yes, that's what he said.
There's this really great meme that I saw, and then so he's on the phone saying that, and then John F. Kennedy's also on the phone, and it says, sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you since my fucking head got blown off.
Yeah, that's very good.
And then I saw another one with those words, and there's Nelson Mandela and Robben Island looking out of the window.
Yeah, yes. Going, oh, that's great. I'm sorry for your suffering, Donald.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, that's
it. He's the greatest president.
Okay. Let's get into some sports, shall we? Here's Ben with the latest. It's a Friday morning, so we got lots to look forward to this weekend, don't we, Ben?
Yeah.
Oh,
I had the microphone on. Yesterday, I went through the Super Rugby fixtures for the weekend. So if you want to get more of that, well, there's always the podcast or the Bouncers Cerdo Sede.
Also, you had some kettlebell champion on yesterday. It was pretty interesting.
Great interview on my show. It was really fun.
Oh.
Yeah. You should also listen to that. So much, Gareth. You're distracting me. Time is of the money. So, time is very short here for a Friday.
Oh, okay.
Nedbank Cup. Okay, so this is your local football action for the weekend here in SA. Chippa United versus SuperSport United, 3 o'clock on Saturday. The other semi-final will be Sunday, which is Golden Arrows versus Orlando Pirates at 3. So we all know the Premier League, English Premier League, is done and dusted, right? So we all know the three teams being relegated are Sunderland, Middlesbrough, and Hull. Their lives will change drastically, and we all know the champions are Chelsea. Chelsea are vying for the record of 30 wins. They'll take on who they're playing this weekend. They'll be taking on Sunderland at home. Sunderland are the worst team in the league. Pretty sure it's going to happen. Spurs are going to finish second. And then the battle for third and fourth, right? Man City on 75 points currently. Liverpool 73. Arsenal 72. So there can be a shake-up here. You've got to think Man City is going to finish strong and they'll sure up third place. But Liverpool are the kind of team that can slip up at any given stage. I mean, they really are. That's just their nature. They can blow away the great teams and then suddenly lose like 3-1 to like Hull out of nowhere. So, bearing that in mind, these are the fixtures for the weekend. Look out for all the games in the Premier League, all on Sunday, all at 4 o'clock SA time. Watford at home to Man City. So you got to think, again, Man City should be able to get that one done. Then Man United will take on Crystal Palace at 4. Jose Mourinho, I'm sure we'll get to that in a little bit. Liverpool will take on Middlesbrough at Anfield at 4. Okay, Middlesbrough, crap, they should get that one. Arsenal have to play Everton. So they've got the toughest game of those for the ones vying for the coveted top 4. So it'd be interesting to cross-channel between those two. Very, very interesting. Arsenal, well, they have to win. And well, it doesn't really come down to goal difference because it's all about winning from here. So those are your big matches for the English Premier League. Now, Spurs beat Leicester last night. They absolutely hammered them 6-1. So Harry Kane looks like he's going to pick up the golden boot there. And they'll finish off the season against Hull, of course, one of the relegated teams. Now, Man United, as I said, they've got their big Europa League final next week, right? They're playing against Ajax. And this is, as we've been saying, Jose's last chance of glory and getting into Champions League next year. So they've said through a couple of months now that their schedule is just ridiculous. They're playing so many matches. There's no way their squad can go through all of this. I mean, they look a tired side. They're drawing too many matches. They really are just looking tired. So they're trying to limp into this final. And they said, well, it's absolute bollocks that they then have to play a game on Sunday, which is so close to their Champions League, so the Europa League final. Why couldn't this game have been brought forward? This game has absolutely no significance whatsoever. Man United are going to finish sixth.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, they're going to finish sixth in the league. Crystal Palace are safe. They're not going to be relegated. So this match means absolutely nothing. So Jose says, well, screw it. You guys won't change anything. I'm not going to beg. I'm just going to basically run. Whoever hasn't played a game this season, all the youngsters, they're all going to have a run. So if you're a Man United fan, you'll get to understand how deep your squad is this weekend because Jose is pretty much not going to play any of his star players whatsoever. And a really cool thing for those kids. They're going to have so much fun afterwards. They're going to be jawling hard, win or lose. They get to play for Manchester United at Old Trafford. Mm. That's really, really great. Speaking of football, this, you know, the whole diving thing is called simulation. It's basically just you deceiving the ref.
It's where people pretend they've been hurt so that they can get red cards, yellow cards, or free kicks.
Yeah, exactly. So it's either to get someone sent off, it's to get penalties. And the FA has decided, the FA is very busy, huh? They're trying to champion the gays, and now they're doing this. They've decided that you can be retrogressionally punished. I think that's
retrogressively.
Retrogressively punished.
Yep. All right.
So if it's believed that you have dived and you're bringing the game into disrepute, basically, well, you can be suspended after a committee gets together and fines you. I think this is absolutely fantastic. But
so in other words, if you were pretending to have been hurt on the sports field, they can then fine you later.
Yes, which is great. But now someone closer to the match is Sam Allardyce, that face like a pork pie, has this to say on the matter.
Well, it's utter rubbish. Because what about the lad that gets booked that didn't dive? What are they going to do with that? Well, what are they going to do with it? No, they're going to say, oh, that's unlucky. Well, the next time we'll try and get that right, like you mean. So the lad that dived that gets punished, but then the lad that gets punished when he didn't dive, the referee punishes him. You're going to have to reverse that somehow. So bring technology in and we can look at it on the day.
I don't understand.
Well, exactly. That's how I'll attach this guy is.
What is he saying? So he's saying, all right, it's unfair because if the guy dives and they fine him afterwards, what about the guy who doesn't dive?
Yeah, but to counter Big Sam's fat gob mouth, it's like, what happens to the guy who didn't foul the guy who gets sent off?
Hmm.
I mean, what a stupid argument. These pricks who are making all this money and these are the views they have, it's just...
It sounds like he's almost thinking with...
Shut up, dude.
He's thinking with the wrong orifice here. Listen, speaking with the wrong orifice.
It's sort of rubbish.
It's sort of rubbish.
Because what about the lad that gets booked that didn't dive? What are they going to do with that? One, what are they going to do with it?
Well, it doesn't arise.
I mean, just bloody stupidity. So this is a great system, and it's got to be taken out of sport, as simple as that. In Scotland, there's no mess, no fuss. Obviously, there's far less glamour in Scotland. And they instituted something like this around 2011, and they don't have a problem with diving like these other prima donna leagues do. Don't dive. This is the whole problem with sports. You know, people think it's just a namby-pamby waste of time because of stuff like this. So you're doing football no favours, and then guys like Sam Allardyce saying this is rubbish. It's a step in the right direction, I'll tell you that much. Speaking of steps in the right direction, the Commonwealth is still trying to flog their 2022 games. Of course, this is the games that Durban couldn't do because, well, let's not get into it. We all know the reasons. So London and Manchester have also decided, well, no thanks. We don't want it either. But Birmingham and Liverpool, they're keen. They're keen. Birmingham in particular are saying, well, we're all in for this because we really need a new transport system and this is a great way of taking us and catapulting into the future, blah, blah, blah. So they believe those are the two strong runners. But how about the balls of these Commonwealth people saying, ah, yes, but they won't be the only bids because we're still expecting bids from Canada, Malaysia and Australia. Now, the reason Durban got the 2022 Commonwealth Games is because nobody else wanted it. And these guys still believe they're going to get additional bids from other countries.
Not good.
It's between Birmingham and Liverpool.
All right.
Simple as that. Speaking of Birmingham, they've decided to give Maria Sharapova a break.
Oh, how so?
Well, they host the Ergon Classic, which is basically a lawn tennis tournament before Wimbledon. And they've said that they'll give Maria Sharapova 2 years to come and play. So she doesn't have to qualify, nothing like that. She can go and play.
How do you feel about that, Ben?
Well, Gareth, you know my views. But let's get the views of an LTA, Ladies Tennis Association staff. And she said, some may question the moral compass of this decision.
The moral compass.
She's bringing the moral compass in. Wow. This woman, very senior LTA staff member. Uh-huh. She says, well, we do not question it. She made a mistake that we do not condone. She has paid the price through her 15-month ban, and now she can return to action. We do not take this decision lightly, but like all the other WTA events before ours, have granted her a wild card. So our Birmingham event... compass. Our Birmingham event can benefit British fans who can take in her matches on home soil.
Our moral compass.
So she just sounds like a Sharapova fan, really. She's flouting out the good moral compass.
Wait a minute.
Our moral compass.
I'm very confused here. Nobody's saying that Maria Sharapova can't compete. Isn't what they're saying that she needs to qualify? Like she needs to go back to the bottom and work her way up again because that's just how it works.
Well, Michelle Downey. Sorry, Michael Downey.
Oh.
Anyway, Michael Downey, LTA chief, is all about, she must be guaranteed. She's always welcome here is basically what Downey's saying.
Even if she's terrible in tennis court, she's welcome.
Look, I'd love to see a poll. I mean, are English fans that keen to see her? So speaking of rugby nature, the Bulls flank, you know the big talk about rugby players going overseas for the big money, right?
Yeah.
So Anu Buta, he was touted to be a huge, huge star in the Springboks, and then basically he breaks down just all the time. So he had a deal with Ulster to go and play for the Pounds and the Euros, and then, apparently it's been taken away because Anu keeps getting injured. I mean, the guy prays more than anyone else, but Jesus will not cut him a break on those knees because he goes down every season, basically. And Ulster have gone... Anu, it's not as it's you. It looks like you just basically can't play a full season without going down. So, unfortunately, we're going to invoke the clause saying that you have to be medically fit.
Yeah.
And an independent medical... Well, he was meant to go into the season, right? But last month, he got injured for the Bulls. An independent medical opinion said this guy needs about 73 years of rest on his knee. Okay, maybe he didn't say 73 years of rest.
Wow.
But he needs proper rest on that knee.
That could be a problem.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So another sort of, let's just say transfer news, because we can use that in rugby now. Faf de Klerk is definitely going to play for the Sale Sharks. So there was mutterings around that happening. End of the Super Rugby season this year, Faf will be off there. Reportedly making around 21 million rand for a 3-year deal. So while he's not first choice for the Lions, while his teammates are being sort of, you know, robbed at gunpoint, who would blame this guy for getting it done? So good for you, Faf de Klerk. And who knows, you might become a better player. All of these things can be positive. Gareth, we're running out of time. There's just so much sport. But here we are. That's your
weekend. You knew.
I know. Should have started earlier.
Let's get into some money. With Anthea, we've got a big story we've got to bring the Auto Central people into when we talk to Anthea now. It's all about General Motors. I don't know if you saw the news yesterday, but we'll let Anthea tell you.
So sad.
It's a Friday morning, and it's time for us to check in on what's going on with the money, the whole country's money, and whatever we've got left in it. Let's go. Ready? Here she is, live on the line from Cartesian Capital. It is Anthea Gardner, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
She works hard for money, so hard for an owner. She works hard for money, so you better treat her right.
Yes, she does. Here she is. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
So, should we start off with GM?
Yes, very disappointing news yesterday that they're pulling out of South Africa. So this is a company that started here in 1926. They're selling their plant in Port Elizabeth to Isuzu, who have said they're going to, as far as possible, try and keep things the same. But they also said they're stopping the manufacture of the Chevrolet. So by the end of this year, no more Chevys. And I'm afraid that just means there will be job losses. You know, that they actually employ a lot less people than I thought. They employ about 1,900 people, but still, huge job cuts. And there's a lot of talk in the market about Minister Rob Davies' comment where he said it's a pity but no surprise. And I can't disagree with them. Like, how shocking is that? Surely we should have considered some sort of other plan.
This is a fat white man who looks like he was stung by bees his whole life long. He's been suckling on the teat of the ANC for the longest time. What the hell does he know about the economy or jobs or any of that stuff? He could care less. He's probably also in the Gupta payroll. I am so cynical about these people. And when you say, oh, we expected it. What can you do? That's kind of what he's saying. He's throwing his hands up in the air and saying, it's not my fault.
Yeah, that's exactly
how
right.
How dare you, as a minister of a country, how dare you be so derelict in your duty? Oh, I get furious when I hear these things. Oh, man, it makes me mad.
So apparently we have in the past offered GM concessions or tax breaks because of the drop in car sales. But I can't help but wonder why they didn't think about a way of producing the Chevy Bolt, which is the electric vehicle in South Africa. Now, that would have been forward-thinking. That could have grown the plant rather than shrunk the plant. It really is such a sad state of affairs. And it's a bit of a hollow consolation that GM have said that they're also pulling out of India. Basically, they're pulling out of their less profitable markets.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they're saying about South Africa. You know, they can't afford the wages based on sales. They can't, it's just not worth it for them, they said. If we are going to strike,
if you're going to strike,
then it will impact the manufacturing plant and make the plant less profitable. What do you always say? Money doesn't flow uphill, right? Yeah.
Well, it doesn't seem that everybody agrees with me, and sometimes they'll have to pay the price for their lack of vision by having no jobs. All right, let's just quickly go to George Meany from Auto Trader. They're all the show on Cliff Central is called Auto Central. It's our motoring show. I know George will have some things to say about this too, because they talk cars 24/7 on Auto Central and in their spare time, right, George? What do you think of this?
How's it, Gareth? And very early good morning to you.
Yeah.
It's a sad state of affairs, to be honest. You know, it's not something that that anybody likes to hear or feel. While I agree there's going to be job losses because they're going to shut down their plant, they are selling off the plant, which means, you know, chances are they're not going to lose all the jobs. But there's something that everybody must remember, and that is consumer demand doesn't change in circumstances like this. And when consumer demand doesn't change, all that means is all of that production and all of that consumer demand will just shift jobs elsewhere. So while it's painful and it's not ideal and it's not nice, the consumer demand is still there. We still have to drive cars in the country, and we still have to buy and sell cars. So for me, the hardest hit car out of all three of these is Chevy. Chevy is the one that potentially is going to see the biggest price drops in the marketplace.
Hmm. Anthea, what do you want to know that George might be able to help us with? They have this one plant in PE, right, George?
Yeah, which they're selling off to Isuzu.
Okay.
So for me, the issue is when you say consumer demand shifts, I mean, I think does that mean that we're now having to import all those cars that we're going to not manufacture here?
Potentially so. So Opel being sold off to the PSA group, which is a French group. So we would have to import them. But if you try and box it in terms of, well, the cars are going to be imported and then the prices are going to get more expensive, consumers aren't stupid. They'd probably just shift from Opel to another brand. And then other brand sales will begin to increase. So I don't know if we can just box this situation and say it's all bad, because from Auto Trader's point of view, we see continual growth in consumers coming online and consumer demand. And that shifts across cars depending on what the motoring market is doing. So my expectation is that consumer demand will just shift to another brand.
George, this is quite a difficult question, but off the top of your head, do you know how many car brands are manufactured in South Africa?
No. How many cars are in these three brands?
No, in general.
How many altogether? I mean, like, how many car manufacturers are there that are making cars in this country?
There's a handful. I'd say probably close to the low teens to single digits. I can look and let you know, guys, and you can let everybody know. But the point that I'm trying to make is that consumers will sort the situation out. It's not like, you know, a company like General Motors can pull out of the country and suddenly people start walking to work.
No. That part I think is kind of an obvious one for many people, but I suppose for people who are worried that General Motors is closing down, they think that their Chevy's suddenly not going to get parts. That's not true.
Well, Chevy has, or should I say, GM has committed to making parts available for 10 years after the last manufactured car.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's a pretty good commitment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we mustn't expect the second-hand Chevy to hold up its prices. I mean, I think that would be short-sighted. But at least those guys driving Chevys. I love the Chev Luna. I mean, we go drifting in that. I took you drifting in that.
Yeah, that's right.
Gareth.
Great
beautiful car.
Hmm.
And the fact that General Motors has made the commitment to keep parts available for 10 years, I think it's a good move.
All right, well,
George,
go on, Anthony.
Can I ask one more question? What do you think, how feasible is it to expect electric cars to be manufactured and driven in South Africa?
You know, it's a baby in the world. So I'm hoping that becomes a reality in South Africa. The first electric car that hits South Africa, you know, I'll probably be the first one to drive one. But it'll more than likely follow a path of first importing it and then the manufacturing begins. So I don't think it's something that's going to happen in the next couple of years. It's going to take quite a long time because, as you know, South Africa lags most of the rest of the world.
Okay, well, that's a shame.
All right, well,
I'm going to have to fight you for the first electric car, I'm afraid.
All right.
Well, as long as it's a Tesla, it's fine.
Between the two of you, you can figure that out. But, George, thanks for your time this morning. It's a lot earlier than we're used to hearing from you. And, Anthea, thank you very much. Is there any other stuff you want to touch on before we go to the weekend?
Let me just give you a quick overview of the market. I think global investors are very anxious at the moment. In developed markets, you know, we've got this appointment of Robert Mueller to investigate the Russia-Trump relationship. So everyone's just nervous. And then in Brazil, we've got the political situation there impacting on emerging markets. So, Gareth, we saw the rand at 13.57 to the dollar at one stage yesterday. I mean, I can't actually believe that at the end of March we were below 14 to the euro, and now we're heading for 15. And I know you're off to Germany in a couple of weeks, so I can only hope you're earning euros and not spending euros when you're there.
I just want to bring George back. He wants to say something quickly. Yeah, George, sorry.
Sorry, Gareth.
Cut you off.
We just looked it up. There are 8 brands manufactured in South Africa.
Wow. Okay,
oh, wow.
There we go. So it's 8.
Thanks, George.
All right. Very good. Thanks. We'll catch you on Auto Central on Monday. Sorry, Anthony, you were saying Brazil?
Brazil Grand. Having an impact on emerging markets because their president Temer is being or has been embroiled in an alleged cover-up scheme. So one of the newspapers reported that there's a secret recording of Temer approving a payment to Eduardo Cunha, who's the mastermind behind the impeachment of their former president, Dilma Rousseff. So that's impacting our emerging markets quite badly at the moment.
And then,
of course, the Rand.
Yeah, and then you got to the Rand, and you were about to say to me, I'm off to Germany next month. And then I was almost glad that George interrupted, because I know what's coming.
So I said, if you are going to Germany, I hope you're earning euros and not spending euros. And if you are spending, maybe think about hedging some of that spending money today while the Rand is still below 15 to the euro.
All right. Let's see what we can do.
Okay. I think that's enough bad news for one day.
Thanks, Anthea.
Oh, can I end on a good note?
Yes, please.
Naspers is now a 2,760 Rand share. There we go. That's good news.
All right, guys, have a good weekend. What price were they when you bought them, the last bunch you bought?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll have to go and look it up. And because, you know, we kind of buy and sell as we go, yeah. So I can't tell you exactly. I'll have to give you an average price. I'll do that on Monday, actually, because it's a good exercise.
Cool. We'll take a look. Thanks, Anthea.
All right.
Have a good
pleasure.
Weekend.
Bye.
All right. Bye. There's Anthea Gardner. Look at the money in the money shot. So Chris Cornell died this week. I don't know if you know who he is. Anybody a fan of Soundgarden?
Well, I knew who he was, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll play a song for you just now. You tell me afterwards if you liked the song or not.
But didn't he also play, like, he was involved in other musical projects as well? Soundgarden kind of finished in the late 90s, early turn of the century?
No, he's been doing a lot of stuff since then.
Yeah.
And he committed suicide.
Yeah. Oh.
Just decided he'd had enough. He quit Earth. But I'll play a song for you to just end this hour, and you can tell me if you liked Soundgarden. Maybe you're a big fan. I used to love this song. I still do. And I'm sad he's gone. But you know what? These musicians, they're dropping like flies.
Oh, man.
They really are. We're going to run out of musicians.
We'll be left with Tyga Nelson.
Tyga Nelson.
Oh, no.
And you know who else is still stand the test of time and nothing's going to happen to him is Keith Richards. Nothing's going to happen there. He'll be fine.
I'm sure Rick Astley's still got an album in him.
All right, here's some Soundgarden. For a Friday morning, it is just after 7. CliffCentral.com. Maybe you know this song. CliffCentral.com.